Yes, guys, welcome back to the Once You're In podcast. This is a Q&A episode. Quickfire questions is what we'll do, because we've got, what, like 15, 20 minutes, and we've got a decent amount of questions. Not loads, yeah, but we've got a decent amount. So thank you, as always, for your questions. If you do want to ask us a question, we put a questions box on our Instagrams, usually on the day that we record, which is usually a Wednesday or a Thursday.
It's been more Wednesdays recently, I feel like. And to be fair,
next week it might have to be Tuesday.
How come?
Getting the old highlights in again, aren't
I? What, on Wednesday?
On Wednesday, yeah.
You're redoing them?
Yeah, mate.
Fair enough. It actually does look like, yeah, I can actually tell, yeah, you might need to redo them. Yeah, fair enough.
I like them.
No, that's all good. So what, Tuesday next week? Post
potentially
push.
Yeah, we'll, okay, we'll chat about it.
Sound.
So yeah, thank you for the questions. As always, we do appreciate them. And if you want to ask, then @FinnKelly_coach, Reese Fit, ask us in the questions box that we post.
Yeah.
So first one, JPM VMT. What gives you the ick? Bodybuilding in the gym and normal life.
I got asked this, and they didn't put it in the original, like, they did a, you know, Conte, they did a, like a meet Reese at Rotherham, and they said, what gives you the ick? And I, like, what gives you gym ick? And I said, people having icks. But I said, yeah, why do you care? Like, yeah. And they, like, both laughed at me, and they were like, no, honestly, I was like, no, honestly, like, why do you have a, like, why do you, yeah, give a fuck if someone's doing something different?
I'd, or, have to think, like, yeah, you know, when people are like, what's your pet peeve? Or it's like,
I don't really,
and then I'm sat there thinking, like, because I don't really care what anyone,
yeah,
else is doing.
I don't, but I think I would then carry on with that and say, my gimmick is people caring,
yeah,
about
people
what
caring
I'm or other
much
people are doing.
Yeah.
Like, as much as, like, we joke about it, like, if you enjoy what you're doing, even if it is suboptimal, who the hell cares?
One thing we do joke about, and I guess I wouldn't say we don't call it an ick, but people will ask us if we're using a machine that's, like, over the, yeah, other side of the gym. We literally had it one time in Progress Works, I think when I was prepping, and they're, yeah, like, Hey mate, are you using the Cybex Bravo? And it was literally like, it takes 30 seconds to walk there. Yeah. A complete other side of the gym. We've not even been on it. Our equipment, our bags weren't there or anything.
This
we're like,
is 4
no?
years ago.
And we were both like, what?
This is 4 years ago. And I legitimately said to Finn yesterday when we got asked, whenever we get asked any machine that's like not right next to us, it's like, you're on the Cybex Bravo. We said it to him yesterday. And this is like 4 years of just
but
an
like,
ongoing
people will
joke.
Ask us like, and it's literally, it could be like, fair enough if it's the machine that we're stood next to.
Yeah.
Sam, like, no, mate, it's all yours. But, like, often we get asked, and it's, yeah, like, a good, like, 10 feet away. And it's, yeah, like, 3 or 4 machines away. And we've, yeah, not even been on it or, yeah, got our kit near it. And they'll just ask. And it's like, no.
No,
why would I be on,
yeah,
it? I'm over here. Like, yeah. I'm nowhere near it.
I'd say as well.
That's
you,
the thing that
when,
gives me the ick.
When you're prepping, I'd say it is an ick. Like, being asked constantly, how's your prep going?
Yeah.
Because that's annoying. Just annoying. Like,
we're saying we don't get an ick now.
Yeah, no,
like,
they're all coming out. No, but these are just things that, again, like, involve just people talking.
I wouldn't, like, class it as an ick. It's just like,
I just don't want to. I just don't want to speak about myself. Yeah, just like, mate, yeah, sound. No, you,
he
mate,
loves
you,
speaking about himself.
Finn speaks more than me. If we were to work out how who speaks for long on
the
podcast,
that
yeah, that, you're laughing.
Like, carry
shit,
the
he's
podcast.
Got me. He's got me. No, you mate, you wouldn't, like, every time. How's your prep going, mate?
Yeah.
How's your prep going? Remember Sanaya once said to me in bed, she was like, I've said this before, about to go to bed. And she goes, Reese. I was like, yeah. She goes, do you know it's mad? You're less than 10 weeks out now. And I'm like, yeah, sound. I just want to go to sleep. Thanks. I was like,
that would give me the ick. Yeah, like, I'm breaking up with you.
Get out. Get the fuck out.
Do you know one thing that I guess, like, this came to my head, like, if I was single, and, like, let's say you were talking to a female.
Yeah.
One thing that would just always put me off would be, like, their accent or their voice. It's like, if they didn't have, if they didn't have a voice,
yeah,
that I found attractive, like, yeah, straight away, I'd be like, no matter how attractive they are, they might be the nicest person, yeah, in the world, but if I don't...
So like, is that an ick? Like, was that an ick?
I guess so.
Yeah. I thought the same. When I was up in Leeds, before Sonar, there was a girl that was in one of my classes. I might say her name, I'm not going to say her name.
Come on.
Darcy. Yeah, she was going in my classes, and she was like, she was pretty attractive, and I spoke to her, and she like opened her mouth. She had a northern, like, quite not deep voice, but no, and I was just like, shame.
Oh, Darcy.
Like,
Darcy.
I was like, you had so much potential, and yeah, and that was that.
That's what probably girls think about you and your squeaky voice.
My squeaky voice. I got a nice voice, I'd say.
I got a croaky voice.
I got a nice voice.
Another one would be. And this isn't...
They're all coming out. If it's away from the gym, I can probably think of maybe a few more. That just
well,
a bit like...
I was thinking about like things that would be... I wouldn't class it as an ick. I'd say like turn-offs
okay,
in a female.
Yeah.
Smoking.
Yeah.
Or drug abuse.
Yeah. I hate drug abuse.
Alcoholism. Actually, I don't mind.
I thought you were going to say steroids. Hate that.
I love that. I love that in females.
Yeah, smoking.
But again, I wouldn't say any of these give me the ick, because I almost think, like, I know it's just like a term, but I don't have the right to have an ick about what anyone else does.
No,
you know what I mean?
More than
you do what you do what you want. Yeah. I couldn't care less. Like,
and if I don't like something about you,
that's my fault.
Just don't like you. It's me. It's not you.
And it's not my fault. It's just fine. Like, not everybody has to be best of friends or love everything. Like, yeah, I wouldn't say like, oh, that really gives me the ick. It's just like, that's annoying, or I don't like that, but a sound I won't associate with it.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've answered that quite well, considering Susan. Usually, we're just like, we don't know. Next question.
we've been better with that because we got told off.
Yeah, we should. We need to.
You're doing a podcast. You need to actually answer the question.
Oh shit, we're supposed to. Sorry. Right. How often and for how long are you cutting your carbs? Question mark. I'm guessing he means how long a diet.
Like, we kind of spoke about this in the last catch up episode, so go and watch that.
If we were to give a short framed answer, like you said, what, per 12 months, 9 months in a gaining phase, 3 months in a diet for most people?
For like a lifestyle client, maybe a bit longer in a gaining phase for a competitive client.
And it's not just carbs.
That 3 months, let's say, of a diet is probably the longest I'd do as a diet phase, unless it is a contest prep.
Yeah.
Even if it's a photo shoot diet, maybe 12 to 16 weeks. A holiday diet, I'd be looking at definitely less than 12.
Yeah.
A mini cut, I'd be looking at anywhere between like 4 and 8.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Reece said, it's not just carbs, it is calories, but it's predominantly from carbs. Like, I'd be having my protein pretty much the same. If anything, escalate it in a diet phase. I'd be having my fats pretty much the same.
Escalate it. So I'm going to be running 450
grams. You need more
protein.
No, but your complete protein is going to go up anyway from your trace protein coming down from bringing carbs down.
Yeah.
But I'd keep fats like pretty constant.
Yeah, I didn't really make massive changes to my fats.
Fats will go up a little bit anyway, just from trace, but... Like, again, actual quality fats, I wouldn't be, like, drastically changing them.
Yeah, I agree.
This is a good one. Okay. Ethan Bone 10. B-modified versus Ultraflex Derby comparisons.
Okay. I think we've actually spoke about this a little bit, but maybe not a direct comparison. So, firstly, if you live in Derby or live in the area, go and train at both and see what you prefer.
That's it. That's the answer.
See you later, bro.
No, let's do each component. So, like, equipment. Ultraflex Derby
has greater equipment. However, you could also specify it as what
B-modified
has
still got great kit.
Better hand, like let's say for example, Ultraflex Derby. If you're training pull, I prefer to train at B-modified because they have better rows. The kit at B-modified is a lot more hand selected and picked out due to the quality of it. Where Ultraflex Derby has quantity but also high quality. Like legs, it's not even a comparison. It's Ultraflex Derby. That's the best gym that I've trained at in the UK for legs. Yeah. For upper body,
for pull and push,
you could do either.
Yeah, I would say like vibe. If you want in like a really loud, aggressive gym, say aggressive, like the music's quite loud and in your face, then Derby. But if you want in like
an actual gym,
a gym with good music and a good vibe and a good like family kind of feel, like I would say B-modified.
It has an actual.
That.
You walk in and it feels like a gym. Like, I feel like Ultraflex Derby, obviously it feels like a gym, but the music's really loud. The general person who trains there, it's very trendy right now because it's an Ultraflex, and it will be, it's a chain. But if you were to give me, like, if I was to, let's say, just have to pick one, I probably would say Ultraflex has pros and cons, but I'd rather be at B-modified every day because the people won't piss me off and it's a fair bit.
Yeah, if
quieter.
I had to choose one for the rest of my life, I'd choose B-modified because it'd feel like it's your own.
Yeah.
Whereas Derby, it wouldn't. But if I was to be told, like, for the next year you're only allowed to choose one, I'd probably say Ultraflex Derby.
Okay.
So, like,
that's a good answer.
Yeah, like, long term, I'd rather train at B-modified. Yeah. But short term.
Is there any other categories that we can break it down
little
into?
Extra things, like they've got the sauna, they've got the ice bath, things like that. Like, if
day
you're interested
passes
in that,
are cheaper at B-modified.
Yeah, day passes cheaper at
memberships are similar, I think.
Posing rooms better at B-modified in my I would say it's better in terms of the like ability to actually see your
not
back.
As good as the original
no B-modified. The original was great,
yeah,
and Premier is probably the best posing room there is in my opinion.
Yeah, or Rotherham.
Yeah, Rotherham's good.
Rotherham, nah, I don't actually. I'm a
Premier is probably
Premier
the best
is the best
in terms of like
Rotherham. You either have two lights on and you're washed out to fuck, or you have one light on and it's like fake natty lighting.
There is the one light. Use the one light that's not the fake natty one. It's all right.
Yeah, yeah, but
then you think I just might as well have the fake natty one.
Yeah, I might as well just fully go in for it. My legs will look shit, but my body will look wham and shredded.
So, no question.
Yeah. JPMBNT, what's your party drink? Definitely not quarter turns. Nowhere to be seen. I'm going to be honest, mate. By the time this comes out, it'll probably be a week or two, and I'll probably message you and say, JP, fuck off. But I don't know what this obsession is.
He's got something in his head, doesn't he? Yeah, like, just, you not doing quarter turns.
Yeah, I do quarter turns. I just don't post them.
To be fair, I do back poses and I don't post them.
Yeah, I think my quarter turns are all right. It's just at 260-ish pounds, the mobility required, I just look stiff. Like, I don't think, like, if
you
I
do
was
need to practice more. Yeah, like,
it is hard when you're heavy. Like, and have you seen the AJ? Not AJ Morris, AJ the boxer. He's like, 18 stone, it's hard, man. It's difficult. You don't know what it's like. That's what it's like. Mate, 19 stone, it's hard. You don't know what it's like. It's hard to get into the pose. And if I look at a pose and I think, like, God, that just looks like I'm just tight.
Yeah, you're probably not going to post it.
I'm probably not going to post it. Yeah. So there's nothing I'm hiding. I literally do quarter turns after every session. If you want, I would DM you a quarter turn and you'll go, oh, yeah, sound looks all right. Like, it just looks stiff.
You'll go, he's fat.
No, he'd say, fucking look at his glutes peel, bro.
Mark Usick, are joint supplements worth the money?
I'm going to be honest and say this is something I've not actually got enough experience with, because I've never purchased a joint supplement. Mm. I've never used
one. I'd probably say no then. Because if the level that you're at,
yeah,
you'd want to be using it. You know what I mean? You'd be making the most out
of
it.
Yeah, but I just rely upon growth hormone. And
I have used a joint supplement. I've used JP's Joinin.
Sanaya's got that, and she actually quite likes it, but she's more so for running. She's mentioned it.
I used it during my prep, my first ever prep. Yeah. And I can probably say it helped a little bit.
Yeah.
But I supplement turmeric every day anyway, and that's kind of what the main component is. It's like an anti-inflammatory.
Yeah. So all it does is bring down inflammation. So ideally, you'd want it away from the workout window. So like pre-bed. I remember Sanaa had it like post-workout once. I was like, Sanaa, like, I'm not going to be, it's not killing your gains, but probably
have it like AM or PM. Like, I have it with meal one, which is still like, what, plenty of time before I train. But yeah, like, are they worth the money? Probably not, unless you're somebody who suffers with joint pain.
Do you notice a difference? Like, would you say would you buy one if you had £250 per month? Would you buy one?
I'd buy turmeric.
Yeah.
And that is like the main component. So I guess,
if turmeric didn't exist,
then
you would buy one. You'd use
probably, because that's kind of what I have it for. You know what I mean? Like, I'll use turmeric as a case of anti-inflammatory and like helping with any joint pains and niggles and things.
Yeah.
Does it drastically help? I don't know, but it's cheap and I buy it regularly. Like, I say buy it regularly. I think I bought one that's like 120 caps. So it's like, and it's one a day. So I'll buy one every like, what, 3 months?
Yeah.
4 months?
4 months, yeah.
So, yeah, like, are they worth the money? Probably not if you're thinking about it, but if you've got the disposable income and if you suffer from joint pain and you want to try and find a way of helping it without just improving your technique, maybe slowing things down, adding pauses, etc., then, yeah, try it. And if you don't want to buy a more expensive joint supplement, then just get some turmeric.
Yeah. And then once Conte come out of a joint supplement,
then it's the best in the world.
Fit 10, and we will be literally like, joints. Yeah, I've been using this for ages, guys. It's
10
amazing.
Years.
Yeah. My joints are amazing.
Before they made it.
Yeah, it's so good. I've never felt this good.
Just quickly, this is another question, right?
Okay.
LB Fit, so my client Lewis. Yeah. Best podcast to listen to. Hey, you've got it on right now.
Yeah, imagine we just said it. He just skips off.
There's no other. This is the only one. You can't leave.
Yeah.
That's our answer.
Once you're in,
you're in. It's in the name.
Yeah. Sorry. Fuck off, bro.
No, don't fuck off. You're in.
You're not getting the answer from us, bro. Right.
Not
favorite things.
Anyone else?
Favorite things to do outside of training and coaching. Football.
Eating.
Yeah.
Eating for the next.
Binge
session.
Eating. Yeah. Eating for the next training session.
Watching videos of Ronnie Coleman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Football. Watching football. Not playing football because it would batter me, but watching football. Or any kind of football-related content. Spending time with Shannon, my family, going on a nice walk.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I'd say, like, maybe watching, going to the cinema, but not recently. It's been shit.
Films have been naff the last, like...
Last year.
Yeah, I can't think of the last film I went to, and I was like...
It really thought it was good. Mate, this isn't a joke. Barbie is the only one that I've been to, and I've thought, that isn't a horrendous film.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
Yeah,
it's not bad, was it?
No, like, it wasn't awful. It was like, I got to the end, I was like, it's all right. Yeah. Like, it's sound. But like, but both like, films I walk out now and I'm like,
I've wasted my time. Yeah, I think that's being busy though. Like I said to you the other day, I think when you're less busy, you could spend 2-3 hours in the cinema and it'd be alright. But like, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I used to like if I got stuck in traffic, I'd just be like, it is what it is. Or if I got, let's say, in the gym and I'm there for 4 or 5 hours, I'm like, I can just do what the fuck I want. But now it's like if I'm late, I'm like, this is annoying.
I compare everything to like what I could be doing.
Yeah.
So if I'm in the cinema for 2-3 hours and it's not a really good film where I'm completely engrossed in it, all I'm thinking is like, I could be probably doing some work, or I could be getting back to clients, or I could be doing that setup, or
I could be binging,
and getting a plum burrito.
Yeah, no. So favorite things to do, I'd say for me, going for a nice walk with Sanaya, watching football with my mum. We watch every Liverpool game together. I go for a nice walk on Sundays with my mum. Most of it involves either walking, watching football. I think like going out for like a nice meal, like somewhere different, or going to like I'm going to London this weekend, going on Friday, there for the weekend, going to a comedy club Friday, me, my mum and Sanaa. We had it planned for like 2 or 3 months, so doing a bit of shopping, so that'd be cool, like Piccadilly, something like that, like a bit of a city break, different training, different gyms, training the same gym, doing I just talk about training. My life's really simple, but I enjoy it, so
simple. One Pets has asked us, how to get in calories and train during Ramadan.
How to get in calories and train during Ramadan when fasting upwards of 12 hours, ? Any tips?
Exact same question.
Wonder if he's copied or pasted it.
Yeah, maybe. So, good question. Obviously, it's a very topical question because Ramadan starts on Monday, the 10th. I have a client who is beginning his prep on the same day. So, it's like we're aligning it with the start of his diet, which makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I would say for most people, like if you can align it with maybe a mini cut, then I would look to do that, which again works quite well with like what I spoke about with that kind of like, let's say 9-10 months to sort of 2-3 months gain into dieting for most people. So that can work really well. In terms of like, how can you work your food around it? Like if it was me, and we actually have a really good podcast with Kez.
Very good podcast.
Go back and watch really that, because that was about how he manages Ramadan. Obviously he knows a lot better
than us. His name is like spelled Q-A-I-S.
Yeah.
So don't type in Kez, K-E-Z.
Q-A-I-S. Go have a look at the podcast that we did with him, because he goes over it all really well. But if it was me, like I would generally look to have my pre-workout meal as soon as I can, as soon as I can break my fast in the evening. Yeah, so when the sun's gone down. I would then go and train, and I'd probably, like, obviously when it gets darker, and let's say if your gym closes at 8 and you're wanting to train later, like maybe you have to go and train at a pure gym or whatever, I'd then have probably a large post-workout meal, and then probably just try and have it as that. Like
I'd maybe have a protein feeding. If you're dieting, you have maybe one more protein feeding. Yeah, the main importance is probably just going to be hydration. I'd say like a hydration supplement, making sure you're getting in plenty of vitamins, minerals, supplementation of, let's say, things you're going to be missing out upon, even during the fast, or potentially, if you're going to be so specific and you're like, I'm not going to take vitamin C because I can't.
I don't think they're allowed anything during
some
that time.
I know that some people are a little bit more flexible.
But yeah, like, even if you weren't, like,
if you're as strong as you possibly, like, if you're fully committed to it, just make sure in the time frame that you are, you're probably, I'd be training personally, because
have a big pre-workout,
big pre-workout,
big
meal,
post-workout, big post-workout, that's already easily 2,000 calories.
Yeah, exactly.
You and then can just have a lot of protein post-workout, a decent amount pre. You can then get even within those two meals, like, you'd probably still be getting close to 200 grams of protein. Like post-workout, you could be having like 120.
If you were doing pre-workout, 80-80, and then having a shake or something just before the fast.
Even
ends.
An intra-workout as well. Yeah, intra-workout. You could easily have an intra-workout, EAA and carbs.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's doable. Obviously, this is speaking without experience of doing it, but that's how we aim to do it.
Right. How do you know?
Go on.
What were you going to say?
He also asked, when will the bracing video tutorial drop?
He loves it, doesn't he?
I remember he asked me about it, and I'll be honest, mate, I've forgotten to do it, but I'll do it.
He messaged me, but I just didn't reply.
I'll remember. I'll get next time I do some reels with Sam. We'll do one about
I was
going to
do some
bracing.
Reels yesterday, but the mic broke from me. So
we'll do one about bracing.
How do you know before immersing yourself into bodybuilding if you have the genes for it? I think this is, for Ashton, I'm sorry, mate, because I'm going to give you a very honest answer, but like, you don't bodybuild off your genes, like genetics, like how to immerse yourself because you love it. and not that you're like thinking I'm going to make a career out of it, or I'm going to be a bodybuilder, because
it's not worth not doing it.
You're not going to make enough money. Like, it's not going to be like, we're on this planet once, and that sounds a bit morbid, but genuinely, if you don't enjoy it, don't do it. And if you enjoy it and you have the worst genetics ever, like, we coach some people whose genetics aren't the best, but they just fucking love it, and it's like, yeah, sound. They might be going into shows.
And they also still make loads of progress, but they're just not really going to be the best bodybuilder ever.
And also, a lot of people, you don't know that you've got good genetics until you've spent time. I remember starting out training, and now I look back, I progressed a lot faster than all the people around me. But in the moment, I remember thinking to myself, oh, he looks better than me. I'm not as big as him.
Yeah.
And now I get told by people, oh, your genetics are really good. And it's like, when I was younger, I was like, for years, I was like,
probably thought my genetics are poor. Good,
but it's a case of, again, just enjoying it. And before you know it, I didn't immerse myself into bodybuilding. I never even thought I'd compete till I was probably 20, and I trained for 6 years at that point. And at that point, I was literally training every day, like every day, not having rest days, not missing meals. I was as on it as I had ever been from a very young age, because this is just what I like to do. That's cool, you know?
Yeah, I think even on the other hand of that as well, you could have the best genetics in the world, but not enjoy the process of bodybuilding.
Yeah.
So, you wouldn't do it. Like, that's fine. You don't need to do it. Just because, oh my God, you've got elite genetics for bodybuilding, that doesn't mean that you should do it or that you have to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you should just do what you enjoy doing.
Some people we know that, like, genetically are absolute aliens.
But they're just not that on it.
Constantly, you know? And, like, often you find the people that are genetically, like, really pretty damn good, they're usually actually more slack than the ones that aren't, because they haven't got that leeway to play with. Like, when you combine, like, elite work rate and then also elite genetics, that's when you get some freaks.
I heard it was on one of the Revive Stronger podcasts, I think it was Eric Helms, and he was like, with his, like, genetically elite clients, he'll, like, say to them, like, if you're not on it, there's a chance you might lose.
Yeah.
But then with his, like, genetically poor clients, he's like, if you do everything perfectly, there's a chance you might win.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the difference. Like, if you're genetically incredible, you can be pretty naff with most things and you still probably will win, but you might not. Whereas if you're genetically poor, you could be amazing at everything, doing everything right, but you still probably won't win.
Yeah.
Like, that's the harsh reality of bodybuilding and the genetics, the role that genetics play.
Yeah.
Right, last few. Zach H10. Top 5 Ultraflex in order, 1 to 5. Rotherham, Derby, Durham. Original. Oh, yeah, Durham I've not been. Yep. Original Leeds.
Atmosphere is good, yeah.
And then Hull, York, or Leeds North?
Mate, Normanton.
Normanton?
Normanton's really good.
Rotherham, Derby.
Ooh,
Normanton.
Normanton's very good.
I like Derby.
Yeah, okay.
Rotherham, Derby, Normanton.
Yeah.
Durham. Never been, but it looks good. Durham.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay, fourth.
It's got the hardcore section, bro.
Yeah.
What about the new Leeds? The new Leeds.
Well, I've not been.
It's all right. It's worse than Derby.
Okay, so fifth place, we've got new Leeds, old Leeds.
I'd have old Leeds above new Leeds, just based, not maybe now, but at its peak.
Would you have new Leeds over York, Hull?
Never been to.
I've been to York. It was all right.
Yeah. The new Leeds, I was just like, that's all right.
We'll put old Leeds in fifth.
Yeah. Old Leeds, just for, because it was the original. The original Ultraflex. Pudsey. Yeah.
You got any more?
Yeah. We've got, and I'd agree with Finn's, like, top three. One more. Yeah. Very busy gym. Have the best equipment, but you have to wait for it. Or dead gym, shit equipment. So, Ultraflex, Rotherham, peak time. Like 5, 6 PM, waiting for machines, or a pure gym with shit equipment.
I'd rather have a good gym. I don't mind waiting. Yeah. I don't mind having to move things around a little bit.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when people are like, oh, I had to wait however long for the machine.
You rarely ever actually have to. Yeah, I don't think we've ever waited more than, the longest we probably waited this year was the hamstring curl last week. Do you remember?
Yeah, and it was 5 minutes.
Yeah, and it was 5 minutes. Like, and it was a girl and a boy that were just like constantly doing, like, they were just going like, you go, I go. And I was like, you done, guys.
Yeah.
And like, they were sound. But like, most of the time, jump in with people, especially if you're training in a good gym, people will let you jump in. Like, most people who train in Ultraflex,
we take our time on sets.
Yeah.
And but we'll always never say, like, if someone asked us, we would never say, like, you can't jump in.
Yeah. Have you ever been told no?
Yeah, but like, it's usually because people don't really understand. Like,
I remember being told no.
Especially in like a commercial gym.
And it was like by a dude that was like really rude. He was like, no, you're not jumping in.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I was like 17. I was like, what? Sorry? I was like, I didn't expect no as an answer. And he was like, yeah, I don't eat your blood.
Yeah. And I was I've like, had it before, all right, cool. Like a woman who I just don't think she understood what I was asking. Can't remember where. I think it might have been Pure Gym Loughborough. And yeah. I was like, can I just jump in between? She was like, what? No. I was like you go and then yeah. I'll go. And she was like, no. I was like, okay. And then she was like 2 minutes and she was like, there you go. I was like, so she just didn't understand.
Yeah.
Right, last two. Hussein Selby has asked, dealing with CNS fatigue, if sleep and stress are in a good place. And then he's put H-Freaky-1.
H-J-Freaky.
He's put H-Freaky-1.
Who's H-Freaky?
Maybe that's his name. Maybe that's his nickname, Hussein.
Oh, H-Freaky-1.
Dealing with CNS fatigue, if sleep and stress are in a good place, potentially look at your training volume, potentially look at other factors, like maybe you need to pull back a little bit, devolume session, deload, take a few days off mentally. Your sleep and your stress might be managed well, but are you, let's say, doing a lot of cardio, a lot of steps? Maybe you're in a deficit. Like, there's other things that are going to play a role in terms of general fatigue as well.
Yeah.
Caffeine intake, is that a bit too high? Like,
that's a good loads of things. Yeah.
Final one. This guy's, he's asked us before, his name's Peniel, like penis.
Okay.
Peniel Kahungu.
Mate, I can't believe, he's literally waiting for his question. He's like, compare my name to a penis. Fuck this podcast. Fuck this, I'm not listening to these guys.
Sorry, Peniel.
Yeah, sorry, Peniel.
Sorry, penis. I mean, Peniel. Is eating at maintenance into a show better than having to peak if you are ready earlier?
Good question. Very good question. I think in some cases, yeah, definitely. You can almost treat it as a bit of like a wash off of fatigue. You're probably, that being said, are you going to have that kind of super compensated effect that you can get if you peak well and you build up food and your like glycogen stores are really, really full? Like, I think this is like, if anything, you'd want to have a period of time where you're building food up and therefore going into maintenance, maybe into a surplus, and then having a day or two at baseline. But additionally, like, if you are fresh and you look really good, like, if you're looking mint a week out and you're like, oh, sound up, you probably don't need to be making massive changes. Like, real in an ideal world, a week or two out from a show, you can step on stage really whenever, and you should be relatively good. But at the same time, like, I would look at it and I'd be thinking, you could probably spend a little bit of time in that period, maybe being a little bit lower, and then building food up, and you could get a fair bit better. And the risk to reward, in my opinion, of just having like a few days of higher carbs, hoping for that super compensated effect of glycogen and just glycogen uptake, I'd argue that the risk to reward ratio for that is probably going to have greater reward and minimal risk in comparison to just spending time at maintenance. Yeah.
If you are ready pretty early, then like, you want to be reversing anyway in terms of working food up and dropping expenditure. That reversal period might be at maintenance, or it might be still in a very slight deficit, but just less of a deficit.
Yeah.
But you're just dropping off some fatigue and feeling fresher, feeling fuller. Even if you're, let's say you were losing at maybe like 1% of your weight each week for the last month, and then you start losing at 0.25%, and you're eating more carbs, and your training's better, and you're doing less cardio, like, you feel incredible even though you're still losing weight,
yeah.
And you're still looking leaner. So you might not even be at maintenance. You might still be in just less of a deficit, yeah. Which can work really well. Before
a lot of people underestimate, like, because they were eating 1,500 calories. They then think, oh, if I eat 2,200, that's going to be my maintenance. When in reality, it probably isn't. Yeah. Like, and it's just more.
More food means surplus.
Yeah, just straight exactly. Away. You're just in less of a deficit. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, you're here, when in reality, your maintenance is here, and all you've done is gone from there to there.
So you just feel and look loads better.
Yeah. I think in some situations, if you are, let's say it's a really long diet and you are absolutely smashed, like, your fatigue's through the roof. Let's say, for example, you've nosedived down from 10 weeks to 2 weeks out. I actually think that probably would be a good idea.
Yeah.
If you are literally to the point where, like, you feel awful, training's in the bin, like, you're just like, jeez, but you're ready, you're lean, you're like, I'm peeled. That actually probably wouldn't be a bad shout. If you're like, I don't need to lose any more body fat, I can now just coast and just get fresher through lack of
thing is, you can still
fatigue.
Do that and peak.
Yeah, but that's what I would be looking upon.
Doesn't
yeah.
have to be like either maintenance or peak. It's like, ideally, you probably want to be at maintenance anyway, or again, losing slightly less so you're fresher, and then peak. Yeah. Like, you can do both. All I would say is, if, let's say, you've got like show after show after show, it can be a little bit demanding on the body to peak and then deplete again, and then peak and then deplete again, and peak and deplete again. So you could just not really deplete and not really aggressively peak, but just maybe, let's say, maintain and then have a slight peak rather than like drop. To get that super compensation. It's the deplete part that is what's going
to
batter you.
Yeah, I did prior to my first prep. I did like pretty similar. So I like nose dive down from like 6 weeks out to like 2 weeks out. Ideally, I wanted to be ready at 4 weeks out, but my back was still fat. So I was like, yeah, gonna have to do more. I budgeted a very small amount of time to fill up, which was literally like 4 days. I was really flat for the first show, and then after that, it was like, okay, cool. I remember saying to Finn, I was like, right, technically, I just build my food up now, like just building into a surplus.
Just like off season
starts. Yeah. And it was literally a case where I went from like my lowest was 93 kilos and I stepped on stage at 95 and a half for the finals. And that was 3 or 4 weeks later. And like, it was just literally just a case of like building my food up. If I dropped weight, I added a bit of carbs. I remember like my body weight would drop. So Finn was like, oh, just add a bit of fats into your final meal. So my fats were built up. And then over like the 2 to 3 week period, it was like, okay, cool. I actually competed in one of those weekends again, but I built my food up into that week. And it was where, like, I'd argue, especially from a PD standpoint as well, because I put a few things else in, I actually looked my best just because I was a lot fresher and I was so much fuller. And like the difference between like, if you, when I look at stage photos, the first show, I haven't posted any photos of it because I look so flat. And it's like, it was cool for PCA. They liked it. I got told by one of the judges it was my best look with them. And I was like, I look so bad. I don't know. Like, I did well, but it was like a really, really flat look. I literally looked like I had 15 pounds less muscle in comparison to finals because I was just so flat.
But that's what they can like for physique.
Yeah, and it's a shame. It's what they like for so PCA. But irrelevant of that, when it comes to, let's say, actually going for a so-called peak, I pretty much brought my food up into a slight surplus, but I would have had a time in that where I would have been dieting, then I would have been into a maintenance period, and then as a result, diet fatigue drops off, it's going to be easier to fill up, and you're going to probably look your best at that sort of point. But this is all comments upon, like, this guy, realistically, you might not even be lean enough to do this. So
it's just like a slow linear load versus like an aggressive backload or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, it depends on the position you're in. There's so many different ways of potentially doing it, but again, for most people, probably don't do it and just keep getting leaner.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. Right,
all good.
That's that, guys. Hopefully everyone's enjoyed. That's the Q&A section. Two good podcasts prior to this. We did a Arnold's summary, that'll already be out, and then likewise the one before. If you've not watched it, please watch it. On the quest for 700 subs, we're on 627 by the time we do this, so hopefully by the time this has come out, this is like, that's like 630, 40, 50. I reckon like 650.
We're closing in on it.
Yeah, we're going to get to 1,000. That's the goal soon. So get us to 1,000 subs, guys. But otherwise, hopefully everyone's enjoyed. We appreciate all the story tags. Please keep them coming. And yeah, we'll speak to you guys later. Bye-bye.